It's really nice to be together. I don't know what you miss the most, but I missed to worship together the most, to communicate face to face. But I have this imagination when we're together there with the Lord in heaven, it's going to be amazing. It's precious when you can spend time alone with God, but when we come together, two or three, it's really a powerful feeling to join and worship together. I didn't say anyone what I'm going to talk about. I didn't share with my husband that. I'm going to continue his thoughts about wise women. So to reply to his comments, I left a car 10 centimeters distance. I didn't pull it back because it's wise to listen to your man. That's what the Bible teaches. I have this desire in my heart for a long time, but I feel now is the right time about the pride and how to overcome it. And we can begin by reading. I didn't bring my magnifying glass this time. So today I'm going to read by faith or by heart because I almost memorized it. So I want to read from the letter of James. But like last time I read, but I want to take another passage. And it's not only for this church. This message is, I believe it's arising in the whole body of Christ. I believe that God is calling us into that hearing, listening and hearing of His heart. And I have this desire in these last times that I don't want any other masters for my life. And I know it was supposed to be like that all the time. If in these last times, when we don't know when Jesus is coming back yet, if we want to remain in truth, in light, there has to be one master, not two, not three, and do not switch between them. And that master has to be our Lord Jesus Christ, who is speaking to us through His Word, through His Spirit. It has to be our choice to make Him our master. If we listen to Him, if we do what He commands, we practice. I kind of told all of my sermon in short. I summarized it. But okay, we're going to talk about it in more detail. But it's basically the Christianity. It's the principle of Christianity. But those who live not by only hearing beautiful sermons, but if you really desire to follow this road, to walk this road, you know that this one is one of the most difficult paths. When you truly desire to obey God, to live according to His word, you know that when you make Jesus your Lord, if you let Him guide you, you notice that He wants to remove something that's wrong in us. He wants to take out that fleshly nature. And we still have a chance to repent. We have a chance to switch the path. you still have a chance to hear the word of God, to hear His voice and obey, humble down and obey. Change the motives of your heart. If there is a very dangerous thing when people start to think that they're already perfect, or if not perfect, they're really close to perfectness. And it's like, you don't even see what you're doing wrong. You don't notice your mistakes. Like some woman shared with me that when she's in church, when she's alone, she feels like a perfect Christian. Everything is okay with her. But as soon as she walks into her workplace, she says all the demons come back. It's like all of them suddenly come back and attack me. And you notice how sinful you are still. And Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He gave away His life for us. And if you let Him control and lead your path, it's not difficult to maintain, to overcome the flesh nature. And if you wait around, if you don't make any moves, you notice how quickly the fleshly nature rises, how quickly it manifests in our lives if we don't confront it. And we notice these Christians today who know everything, who know so much information. They're like Wikipedia of the Bible. But they don't practice. They don't put it in practice. And it's not useful at all. The wisdom is to learn and to put it into action, into practice. Listening to our God, which is our master. He's supposed to be our master. And I have a question for you. Who is that voice you're listening to today? If you only listen to Vilma, to me, to other preacher, I guarantee you're not going to stand for a long time. But if you're searching for that original voice of God, you have ears open to hear and listen. And you can hear God in everywhere, in different people talking to you. But if you run to me and ask me what God is telling me, if you come with me with a question for personally what God is telling you, I don't know what He's telling you. So that's why I'm encouraging to have that personal close relationship and hearing Him. It's a dangerous truth that today in church you can be for many, many years, but you can be not born again. Like that wise and unwise girls in Jesus' comparison. And sometimes, we are in church and it seems like everything is okay. Maybe you're in a ministry. You feel happy. You do something but at the same time, the connection with God can be lost. That personal, real relationship. And we can have we still need to make the Word of God the authority. What does this mean? It doesn't mean that you only read the Word of God, close the Bible, and then go and follow some other authorities and make your own decisions, make your according to how you want or how somebody else wants. And if I really put the Word of God as an authority, if I really respect it, if I really obey it, I know it makes it easier to respect other people, respect their requests, what they're teaching towards me, because I am open to an idea that God may be speaking through them. That's why the Bible is teaching me as a wife, first of all, to listen to my husband, to respect his authority. When you know that God's Spirit is speaking through these people, and it's not like we come the Bible and we come and punch people with the Bible blindly trying to shout at them, but when we do it with wisdom, with the guidance of Holy Spirit, it's the right way. And when Darius was teaching me in the car this morning, I was thinking to myself, I have to respect him as a man, as a husband. But I also asked Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? Shall I, even if I thought maybe that he is not right, that you have different opinion, but Holy Spirit prompted me that I have to leave it how it is. I don't have to argue. Of course, it's like a minimal example. It's just, but I don't know how about you. For me, I can notice it the best in small everyday things. And if I'm not loyal, if I'm not faithful there, in the small things, I'm trying to begin with the smallest things. How to be obedient, how to hear God's voice. And if, woman, you know your wardrobes, when you open your wardrobes, and now every man say, preach, Vilma, preach. And when you live in UK, after all the sales and discounts, you open your wardrobe. The face becomes sad, and then the woman says, again, there's nothing to wear. I don't have any clothes. I don't have what to wear. And that's kind of the constant thought is going in the mind. I don't have what to wear. What do I have to wear? I need new clothes. Then woman becomes irritated, maybe shouts at the family members. Then puts some clothes on. Goes into some meeting and then mumbling about what she's wearing, that, I was supposed to wear something else. Look at other women, they look better than me. And I hope you know what I'm talking about, and it's not only me.
Yes.
when we learn how to obey the Master. I even practice it with asking Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to wear today? And I practice this new thing, just to open the wardrobe, put anything with faith and be happy about it all your day. And people might say, where is Christianity here? Vilma, why are you talking about wardrobes and clothes? How is that connected? But it's a mindset that you decide to be happy all day. You decide and how much energy you save, how much more joyful you are around people, and you don't cause any dramas or conflicts. And you kind of become peaceful in your mind that I'm happy about what I have. I'm happy at what I'm wearing. I look great. And it's not like you want to run to shops and buy something new and it's non-stop consumerism. But it saves you time, energy, money, and saves the good mood. And I also want to read from Proverbs now. Proverbs talking about humbleness. And I'm going to ask my husband, Darius, to come and help me read. From Proverbs. I didn't hear which chapter it was. I'm sorry. But it says that trust in the Lord with all of your heart, so He will guide your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Run from evil. Run from evil, avoid all kinds of evil things. And from James, fourth chapter. As we read, from this verse 6, that is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humbleness, pride. What is pride? The pride is when you try to hold the wheel of your life in your own hands. And even with your words, you can say, Lord, Lord. And if you call Jesus the Lord, it means that you acknowledge Him to be the Lord of your life, the one who controls, the one who reigns. And all of the sin, it began when Adam and Eve took control over their lives. And you might laugh at me when I'd practice this obedience and asking God's guidance in smallest of things, but that's how we walk with Holy Spirit. It's not to make your life harder, but only easier when you ask God's guidance in smallest of things. and it only saves you energy, time, and mood, peace, basically. So you may call Jesus the Lord, but have nothing to do with Him as being the Lord. You might still hold strongly the wheel of your life, trying to control everything. But it's dangerous, and it shouldn't be that we only talk nice words, nice phrases that we hear in church, that we learn in Christianity. If we call Jesus our Lord, but we do not really make Him the Lord practically of our lives. And if somebody has, for example, let's say they hurt you this week, raise your hands who has been hurt this week, who felt like somebody did something wrong towards you. And if we say that we follow the Lord, and when you face that emotion, when somebody hurts you, what happens? You have this bad emotion coming to your heart. And you really feel that anger inside, maybe. You want to do something. And it's not like we have to deny that we experience bad negative emotions. If a wife or husband says something hurtful that hurt my heart, what is the first thing that the Bible says? I have to read the Word of God in order to understand what to do in every situation, in order to know how to navigate through life, through this situation. And the Word of God says to forgive. To forgive. It teaches us to forgive. And even the disciples were asking Jesus, so how many times do I have to forgive? It's like hoping that maybe there's a rule, maybe there's a limit. But Jesus says it's until 77 times 7. Jesus says that it always has to be the first thing that comes to your mind, the first action you have to do is to forgive. And maybe you feel all kinds of emotions rising in you that's opposing what you know is right, as you may think it's not right, there's no justice, it's not fair. Like how my children like to say, it's not fair, it's not fair. If I try to teach them or take something away, or I don't allow something to them. But still, in all these chaos of your emotions when everything's rising inside of you, but I still choose to do what the Word of God is teaching me. And I do what He commands, even through these, even if my emotions go the separate way, they go completely different direction. And it's in everyday situations where we have to choose to make Jesus our Lord. If you were the Lord, you would do whatever you want, whatever you think, according to your emotions, your understanding. But we have to understand when Jesus is Lord, we have to live according how He commands and advises. You may, you have some emotions. It's natural. It's natural, but when Holy Spirit, you let Holy Spirit guide you, the Holy Spirit will always prompt and encourage you to do these acts of kindness. Maybe you will hear the voice that would say, send somebody a nice message, invite somebody for coffee, or apologize to somebody that you had a negative experience with. When I solve the problems, when I choose to make this decision to listen to the word of God and to obey in every situation, I notice that it becomes easy to forgive, it becomes easy to love and accept even those who do wrong. When the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and we follow, we always have the freedom, the victory, and the solution comes. And when you try to take over, when you try to control with your own efforts, you may find yourself very quickly into the dead end. And Jesus says in the Bible that He does everything. He copies what He sees His Father doing. And even Jesus, being God Himself, He showed us this example that He watches His Father, He obeys His Father, and He does whatever He wants Him to do. So He shows how we're supposed to live, that we're supposed to watch to the example and follow Him as He follows His Father. I noticed in myself when I try to I jump too quickly into some projects or ideas, that I hear some impulse arising in my mind, some idea. And I'm all enthusiastic, saying, I will do it, I will do it, I will do it. And then after a while, you fall down and ask God, how to do it? God, how am I supposed to do it? And it's when we rush into something, when we think that, oh, I know how to do it, I absolutely have my own idea and understanding. But humbleness is attentive listening, attentive hearing, is to leaning towards each other and hearing each other out. Is also being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit suggests, where he's guiding us.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, first, she really likes to cook. She likes to be in the kitchen. Neither me nor my sister inherited this habit, this passion. And when I have to make food every day, I have these thoughts rising in me, thinking, if I were alone, I don't want to be, but if I were, I would never cook. I don't have ideas what to cook. It's the same meals. My son is complaining, oh, it's tuna and eggs again. But yeah, sometimes it's difficult to decide, to have creativity. But I noticed these gentle ideas in my mind coming. I bought this very simple, like, starter book, cooking. And I had it somewhere in the bookshelf, and I found it again. I opened it. It's such a blessing. It gives us great ideas. It's very simple ingredients, just for me, very perfect for me. And I know now, I found the solution, for example. I found a solution for a while, but I know another challenge might come. And I'm secretly hoping that God will say next time, let your husband cook. I really wish that. But I can't force him. I can't ask him to do that. If he doesn't feel like it. And we're always trying to hear out the Holy Spirit and what it is suggesting us to do. And being gentle, being humble, it's not my authority, it's not my efforts. But always coming and asking God, coming to the Holy Spirit and asking, Holy Spirit, show me the way, show me the measures, show me how I should do something. And when we're doing something according to the Holy Spirit, He will always confirm it with His power, with His blessing. There is always this, but there's a real connection, real friendship with God. There's always this hearing God and going where He's taking you. And sometimes it's not easy decisions, because God will not. He will not always be against fleshly nature, pleasing your nature, the old nature. He will always try to root out that ego in church, for example, that big egos where people tend to be offended very quickly, thinking, how dare they do something not according to how I wanted. I'm going out of church, I'm leaving. That's the very dangerous thinking mindset. And God will always want to root out this kind of attitude from our minds. And if we go like this, like, oh, you have this mindset that people are hurting you, they always do something against you, not according to how you wanted. No, it's not right. God is our teacher, and I will choose to follow him. I will choose to obey. And again, want to say this example, how yesterday my husband and my son, they were watching one drummer. And I was watching them, and I was thinking maybe at least one of my son will become a musician. For one child I bought, for another child I bought instruments, but they didn't go into music. But now I got this encouragement from God not to do anything, to stop putting some effort to guide my child towards certain direction, because I will try to be more attentive to what he likes, to what he wants, and then do according God's advice, according God's guidance. And I remember one of my son, I always noticed he was into sports, into active life. And I was always trying to make him, turn him into a pianist and to piano player. And it was that feeling that I had to really fight against his nature of, I felt like I've put so much energy and effort into trying to turn him into what I wanted him to be, instead of really, I was feeling like I'm just fighting this kind of big machine, big tractor. I'm just pushing it up the hill. I was praying, God, help me. It's such a struggle for me. Can anyone help me? Join me in prayer for my child, that my child would not be so rebellious and go against my will. But he had enough. He was tired of my behavior as well. One day he said, with this really very serious tone, serious voice, he was, Mom, this piano is not my dream. This is your dream. And he just shut the door. I was thinking, wow, what a rebellious child. How dare he say that? But I realized that I can't do this. I'm not building, I'm destroying. This is not listening to the Lord. This is trying to push my own desires and ambitions. And when he came back after practice, some sports, he came back after his activities, and I said, Paul, you're free. You don't have to do it anymore if you don't want to. And how many times in our lives we're feeling like we're pushing these tractors instead of just humbling down before the powerful hand of God. And he really didn't come to destroy and take away something from us, but he came to give us life and guide us into it. Christianity is a wonderful thing. It's a life-giving thing. And every day when you have this open-minded towards God, maybe you're planning to go home today. But you're open, if you're open to the guidance of Spirit, Holy Spirit, maybe you will feel encouragement to go and visit this sister in East London, that you haven't seen for so long. And just give in to this guidance, to this gentle voice of God. And that's where I'm going to finish, stop the sermon.